got something the Lord's impressed upon me a few days ago, and I want to share with you this morning. I wonder today if you had an opportunity to have anything you want, and it would be given to you, what would you want? I've heard a couple of very wealthy people say they always wanted to be wealthy enough to buy anything they wanted, but after they got wealthy enough to buy anything they wanted, they suddenly decided they didn't need anything, didn't really want anything. So what would you want if you could have anything given to you? In Mark chapter number 10, we've got a couple of guys here that thinks they know what they want. And in verse number 35, Bible said, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him," Jesus, "saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit on thy right hand, and on the left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, You shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall you be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand this morning, Lord, and preach the Word of God. We ask you, Lord, to anoint your Word. Anoint this preacher this morning, Father. God, I ask you, Lord, just to bless the congregation today. Help us, Lord, to get out of this message what you would have us to get out of it. We ask you, Lord, just to teach us from your precious Word this morning. God, help us, Father, to learn to be satisfied in Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now Jesus here, John, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, have come to him and asked him for something. And they said, "We want you to do whatever we desire." Now that's a loaded question to start with. Just exactly what is it that you desire? You ever have somebody come to you and say, "Will you do what I ask you to do?" "Well, I don't know. What are you going to ask me to do?" That's the first thing that we need to know. And they said, "Well, it's pretty simple. There's two of us, and he wants to sit on your right hand, and I want to sit on the left hand in your glory." And Jesus said, "Well, that's not mine to give." And the other disciples heard them, and as Brother Woody mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson, and how that there was 120 people in the upper room there in the first chapter of Acts, and they stayed together for 10 days, and there wasn't any trouble up there. Well, in this situation, there was 12 disciples and out by themselves, and two of them started some trouble. And the other 10 heard them, the Bible said in verse 41, "And when the 10 heard it," that's the other 10 disciples, they was kind of upset about all this. Why are they going behind our back and asking for something? There's only two positions and they're trying to get them away from us. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is not in the business of playing favorites today. He's not going to do that. And I'm glad of that this morning. If he was in the favoritism business, he might have saved you and left me lost. But I'm glad that that whosoever will can come and take of the water of life freely this morning. But I was just as I was thinking about this scripture, and Jesus asked them the question in verse 35, or verse 36, and said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" Now, I've asked you the question already this morning. If Jesus was to come and say, "I'll do whatever you want me to do for you," what would you ask for today? Have you ever thought about that? And I want to tell you something. I don't want anybody shouting out answers or anything like that. But I tell you one thing today. If we are not very careful, our answers would be the wrong answers. We might want something that wasn't good for us. I've had a lot of times in my life when I've asked for things and didn't get them. And after I didn't get it, I realized getting it would have probably been a real bad thing. But you see, God sees the future as well as He sees the present. I don't see like that. I can't see anything past right now. I can't even see a minute from now. But God sees the end of my life. He knows all about it. But what would you ask for? What would be your immediate answer if you was asked that point blank this morning? What can I do for you? What would be the answer that you would jump up and say, "Right here is what I want"? Now think about that this morning. What would you ask for if that was asked you today? And the immediate answer that you would give would reveal what was in your heart. Because whatever's in your heart would be the answer that you would come out with. And I'll tell you something, we need to be careful what we have in our heart today. Because what we have in our heart leads us and guides us, and it can cause us loads of trouble if we're not careful. But one thing that a person might ask for, and I've thought about three or four things that I think that the majority of people in the world today that we live in, and I'm not talking about Christians, I'm not talking about saints of God, but I'm talking about worldly people, the majority of the people in the world. And the reason I say that, because the majority of people in the world want nothing to do with God. They want nothing to do with the church. They want nothing to do with the pastor. They want nothing to do with the deacons. They want nothing to do with a Sunday school teacher. They want nothing to do with the Word of God. They don't want anything to do with all of it. But then when trouble strikes, they want help. So I've seen it all my life. Thousands of people. Thousands of people. And you know what I think the number one thing that people would probably ask for if they had an opportunity to ask for anything they wanted? I think they would ask for wealth in this world. That is the number one thing that people want. Give me money. Show me the money. I want to tell you something. That might not be the best thing that could happen to a person. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 8, He said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And I want to tell you something. Money will draw you away from God. If you're saved and you come into a bunch of money and you backslide on God, that don't mean you're going to hell, but it probably don't mean you're going to live a very long life either. If I will tell you something right now. If I backslid on God and I just got out of church and went out and just started doing what I want to do, I would say within 2 years, you'd be either coming to my funeral or you'd decline to come, either one, because I think I would be dead. That's where I think it would get me. And so people today, they want a lot of money, but with a lot of money comes the opportunity and the ability. ability to do a lot of things in the world. And when you start that, the first thing that you strike off of your list of things to do is get up and go to the house of God. People can't go, on a majority of people can't go to the house of God if they've got a lot of money, because that's not their desire. These brothers said, "We want you to do for us whatever we desire." Well, your desire would not be for God if you had a whole bunch of money. Now, I'm not saying everybody's like that. I know some millionaires that serve God. I know millionaires that take their money and do things for God and for churches and for to help people. And they use their money for the purpose of God's work, some of it. But I know more so than that, I know them that wouldn't give you a nickel. They wouldn't give the church 10 cents to watch an ant roll a bale of hay up a flight of stairs. I'm telling you, they wouldn't give God nothing out of what they've got. Majority. And so Jesus said in Mark, what would it profit you if you had the whole world and lost your soul? What good would it do you? Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and 10, he said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements and will melt the fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Now, you got a lot of money, you'll buy you a big mansion, maybe a 20 or 30 room mansion, and I don't know why you'd want it. You're going to have to pay somebody to clean it if it gets clean. I mean, you won't even clean a 5-room house very much, but you want a 30 room mansion. That is the most ridiculous thing that I've ever heard of in my life. But you got to have it so people will drive by and say, "Wow, wonder who lives there." And you can have your name on the mailbox and they'll say, "That's who lives there." And I'm telling you something, when they see you out, they might even bow to you. And I'm telling you, this is what people want. That is people's desire a lot of times, but it's not what God wants us to have. Peter said, "Your work's all going to pass away. You can have a lot of money invested in business and make $1 billion. And you know what? When Jesus comes, it's all going to go away. Every bit of it's going to go away." Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, he said, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out." So when you leave here, your bank account stays behind. I'm not leaving much, I tell you that. When I leave here, whoever gets my bank account going to be disappointed, I tell you. But listen, you're not going to take it with you. If you had $10 million, when breath leaves this body, it is not yours anymore. It's gone, belongs to somebody else, and you left with the same thing you came in with, nothing. Job said, "Naked I came into this world, or came from my mother's womb," and he said, "Naked I'm going to leave." We brought nothing in, we taken nothing out. So what is the big deal about the money? Well, it's nice while we live here. Well, I don't know anybody that couldn't use a few extra dollars most of the time. But I want to tell you something, God takes care of His people. I've never had a lot of money, but I've never needed anything either. Do you know that? Listen, God will take care of His people. Yes. The second thing I thought about was, would you ask for long life? Now, a lot of people say, "Yeah, buddy, I want to live forever." Me too. That's why I got saved. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can't have longer than everlasting. But a lot of people would say, "Well, I want a long life." A lot of people would. I would like to have a long life. I would like to live to be 150 if I could be healthy and motivated and take care of myself. Hey, why would you want to live that long? Well, death is just not in my... It's just something I don't know anything about. Now, I'm sure that after it happens, I'm going to find out it's not bad at all. It should have happened years ago. They said that, I believe it was Moody, I think it was, that his son was sitting by his bed when he died, and he said, "This is not death. This is my coronation day." Listen, death for a child of God is not anything to be feared, but it's also something that is unknown to us. I had a preacher friend of mine said, "I wasn't afraid to be born. Didn't know nothing about it. So why should I be afraid to die? I don't know nothing about that either." But we don't, it's just not the nature of man to want to die. People tell me, or I hear them say in church a lot of times, they'll say, "Boy, I wish God just called me home. I mean right now. Man, if He just called right now, I'm ready to go." And they get a headache or have a little chest pain, get a little gas or something, a little indigestion, and they'll run down and knock the door off the emergency room to get in. "Oh, doc, I think I'm dying." Well, that's what you said you wanted. We don't really want that at all. I started seeing this 50 years ago. People say, "Oh, I wish God just take me home." And before the night's over, they're in the emergency room. If you want to go home, why'd you go to the hospital? That's not the way home. People say, "I want long life. Give me long life." I'd like to have it. Like I said, I wouldn't want to live in a nursing home, but I'd like to have it if I was able to motivate and work. And if I was able to get out and preach and go for the Lord, I wouldn't care to live a long life. But most people are not going to be like that. But listen, the Bible said, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." So if you ask for long life, you're trying to save your life. And if you're trying to save your life, you're going to lose your life. That's what Jesus said. I didn't just make that up. He said, "Whoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's shall save it." So is it right? Would long life be the correct answer? If Jesus said, "I'll give you whatever you want," would long life be the right answer? Well, it might not be the right answer, preacher, but that's the one I believe I'd pick. Well, you might do it, but listen, sometimes living long causes problems. Causes more problems than just with your own self, too. The Bible said that God sent Isaiah the prophet to Hezekiah. And said, "Hezekiah, set your house in order because you're going to die and not live." Now Hezekiah, the Bible said, he was sick unto death. He was going to die. Now the Bible does not say that Hezekiah prayed for God to extend his life. I don't believe you'll find that if you read over there. I don't think that Hezekiah prayed that prayer. But he did turn his face toward the wall and he said, "God, you've seen what I've done. You've seen my life. You've seen all that I have done for you." And so God said, "Okay." He told Isaiah, "I've heard his prayer. So go back and tell him that I've added 15 years on his life." So Isaiah hadn't even got to the garden gate. And he turned right around, went back in and said, "Hezekiah, got good news. God heard your prayer, whatever it was. And he's give you 15 more years." Right? Long life. Added 15 years to your life. But in that 15 years, about 3 years into that 15 year extension of Hezekiah's life, he had a son. And his son's name was Manasseh. And the Bible said in 2 Kings, in chapter number 20 is where God extended his life. In chapter 21, verse 1, "And Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign." Now if Manasseh was 12 when Hezekiah died, that meant that Manasseh was not born. Had Hezekiah died when God first said there would be no Manasseh. You see what I'm saying? Hezekiah got his life extended, but listen, the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter number 21 verse 9, "But they hearkened not, And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Manasseh was the worst king that Israel ever had in their whole history. And it was simply, it happened after God extended Hezekiah's life. So Israel paid a big price for Hezekiah to get 15 years added to his life. Listen, you live and pass when you're supposed to live. It might be good for you in a way, but how much trouble is it going to cause everybody else around you? And I'm not saying you are to just go ahead and take a pill and die or whatever else. I think we are to live as long as God wants us to and then go on. I mean, But listen, what I'm saying this morning is that long life may not always be the correct answer. Would you ask to be famous? Oh man, if I was famous, I'd be rich. You might be. You might be rich. There's a lot of famous people in history that didn't have nothing. They're famous for being serial killers. They're famous for being mass murders, they're famous for a lot of things. Listen, being famous don't necessarily mean you're a celebrity. It don't necessarily mean it comes with a big paycheck. Being famous, that's not really something that we could say, if I'm famous, I'll have it all. A lot of people do. I remember back through my lifetime, I've seen some pretty famous people that have come from nothing. Most of them come out of little churches where they was raised. That's where they learned to sing. And then they got famous and started singing and entertaining the world. And the first thing they did was forgot about God. So you can be famous, but most famous people don't have anything to do with God. And often they even get to the point where they think they are God and they despise God. They get to the point that if you hand them a Bible tract, they'd bite your head off, probably slap you and try to have you arrested. But they're famous. I knew a famous man in the Bible in the book of Acts. Chapter number 12. On a certain day, Herod sat on his throne. And he was arrayed in royal apparel, and he sat on his throne and made an oration to them. And the Bible said the people gave a shout and said, "It's the voice of a God and not a man." And the next thing the Bible said, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, and because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and gave up the ghost. Now this is a man sitting here, and everybody said, "It's God." And God said, "Oh no, it's not. Watch this." And he smote Herod, and he died right there, I believe, in the front of the people. He was famous. Now he's famous for being the one that didn't give God the glory. So now he's dead, and the skin worms devoured him right there, I believe, right there in their presence. Say, "Preacher, I don't know about that. I think it may be over a period of time." I want to tell you something. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but skin worms going to devour every one of us over a period of time. I don't believe the Bible would have mentioned that if it would have been over a 50-year or 100-year period of time. I think that Herod dropped dead and the worms just started eating. That's the way I see it. You can see it ever how you want to, and we'll still be friends. I don't care how it happened. I'm just telling you what happened, because that the man thought he was famous. He thought he was more famous than God. I believe it might have been Paul McCartney. Maybe one of the Beatles, back in the 60s, I guess it was, said, "We're more famous than Jesus Christ." I want to tell you something. He was on the same turf that Herod was on. People love us more than they do God. Well, you know something? Most people probably do. That's probably a true statement, because not very many people love God anymore. Most people love anything more than they do God. They just don't want anything to do with God. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you something. You better watch out and you better give God the glory for whatever you are and whatever you have. You better glorify God in it, because you're walking on dangerous ground if you don't. Another thing I thought about people would ask for is health. I thought about this. I say, God, everybody wants health. That's not really a good thing to put in this category of all these other things, because I want health. I need health in order to work for God. But you know something? Then my mind was directed to things that I've heard over my lifetime. And you know something? People that don't care one thing about God, when they get sick, they want all the church to pray for them. You ever notice that? They don't go to church. They don't love God. They don't serve God. They don't care about God. But buddy, you let them get sick and they start crying and squalling to the church. People say, pray for me that God will heal me. And when people pray for them and maybe God does heal them, then they get up and go right back out into the same sin they was in before, because they still don't love God. They just wanted their health. I remember a woman one time, Miss Carol, used to go to the nursing home. She'd go down there once a week and have a service to those people. And one lady, I believe, told her, or told somebody, I believe it was her, said, if God would heal me to where I could get out of this nursing home, I'd go right back into the same sinful life that I used to live. Now, at least she's honest. Because that's the way that most people are. They got no desire to live for God. They just want to get well so they can go out and partake of their sin again. So I'm going to tell you something. People, if Jesus said, what can I do for you? They'd say, oh, I'm deathly ill. I want to be healed. I want to be made whole. And when Jesus touched them, right back out in the world they go most of the time. Now, there's exceptions to that rule, I'm sure. But I want to tell you something. I've seen it over and over and over. Listen, people are overlooking the most important things. Health may not be the most important thing in our lives today. I know it is important to us. But I want to tell you something. There's something more important than that. And that is to have a healthy soul. Be saved by God's grace. This is where you need to pay attention and think about what we're asking God for sometimes. Because what we're asking Him for is not really what His desire is for us to have. He said, if two come together in agreement on any one thing, and if we're praying in the will of God, He said He would do that for us. But I want to tell you something. If you're asking for worldly things, you're not praying in God's will, and you'll never convince me that you are. It's not going to happen. If you're praying in God's will, you're going to be asking for spiritual things. You'd be surprised how blessed a person could be if they just ask for the right things. If Jesus said, what would you have me to do? And if we just ask for the right thing. What is the right thing, preacher? I don't know what the right thing would be for you. But I tell you something, it has to have something to do with God. If it doesn't have something to do with God, His work, or His service, it's not the right thing. The Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, Jesus teaching up there, Sermon on the Mount, He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. What things? He was talking about food and raiment and all the things that we need, our daily provision. He said, if you seek God first, He'll give you all those things. And I'm a testimony that He will. Listen, God has given me everything that I have ever needed. Does He ever give you everything you wanted? No. No, He ain't ever done that, but He gave me some things I want. But He's given me everything that I've ever needed. My wife and I, in our whole 47 years of marriage, have never went hungry. We've never went to the cupboard and it be bare what God didn't send somebody with something before mealtime. We've never sat in the cold, the dark. We've never been homeless. We've never had those kind of problems because we've always tried to put God first in our life. And He said, if you'll do that, I'll give you the things that you have need of. I'll supply your necessities. I want to tell you something today. God will also, if you seek Him, He may give you other things too. He's not past that. It's hard to tell what God would do if we just put Him first. A person that has the right kind of heart toward God, if Jesus said, what would you that I do for you? These are some things that they might ask for. A spirit of wisdom. If you had a spirit of wisdom, you could know God's will better. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to be able to know more about God? We sang a song, I want to know more about my Jesus. Well, if you had a spirit of wisdom sent to you from God, you could know more about Jesus. That'd be a good thing to ask for. Because the Lord, that's what He wants you to ask for. That's what He wants. He wants you to be closer to Him. Have a relationship with Him like you've never had before. That's what God wants us to do. The Bible said in 1 Kings. Now Jesus over here, He said to these disciples, John and James, He said, what would you that I would do for you? Now He asked them that question after they asked Him, Lord, would you do for us whatever we ask? They was the one that brought that up. They was the one that instigated that discussion. But in 1 Kings chapter number 3, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. After Solomon had prayed and sought God with all of his heart, and Solomon was trying to get a hold of God in a better way, and God appeared to him in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon didn't instigate that conversation. God did. I want to tell you something. When God comes and ask the question without you having to bring it up, you're on the right track now, because hey, if you wasn't living where you need to be and doing what you're supposed to do, He wouldn't ask you that. He'd know better. Solomon didn't ask for long life. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for famous. He didn't ask for health. He didn't ask for none of that stuff. What Solomon asked for, he said, God, give me a spirit of wisdom that I could better lead your people. Because how can a man judge the people of God without God's wisdom in his heart? Amen. That was Solomon's request. I want to tell you something. When you start asking for the right thing, you're on the right track. God will bless you. He didn't ask for all that other stuff. But you know what God said, Solomon? Since you didn't ask for long life, I'm going to give it to you. Since you didn't ask for riches, I'm going to give that to you too. And since you did ask for wisdom, I'm going to give that to you above what anybody has ever had before you. I'm going to make you wise, and I'm going to make you wealthy, and I'm going to make you famous, and I'm going to give you long life. Man, get all that just by asking for the right thing. That's all the things the world's wanting and are getting evaded. But God said, after He appeared to him in a dream, said, ask what you will. Down in the third chapter of 1 Kings in the 13th verse, He said, and God said, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Oh, listen. Because you didn't ask for being famous. You didn't ask me to give you honor, so I'm going to give it to you. Listen, if God gives it to you without you asking, you'll know how to treat it then. If God gives you wealth without you asking, then you'll know what to do with it. Listen, we need to think, what would we ask for if Jesus said, what would you that I would do for you right now? Man, I tell you something. We need to get tuned up with God. We need to get tuned up with Him. We're going to have our piano tuned pretty soon. Getting a little bit out of tune. Don't notice it too much when the piano is the only thing that's playing. But you know, I could bring a guitar in here, sit down and play with Sister Carol on the piano. And if I don't tune my guitar to that piano, it's going to sound like a train wreck. The instruments that are playing together have to be tuned together. So why do we think we can walk with God without being tuned up with God? Why do we think we can make beautiful music with the Savior if we're not in tune with it? We need to get ourselves tuned up to the throne of God. Listen, another thing that you might ask for if you're right with God is a closer walk with Him. There's a song that we sing every once in a while that says, just a closer walk with you. Not very many people sing that song. You know why? Because they don't want a closer walk with God. They want to be just as far away from God as they can be, or they want to keep enough distance from Him and between them that they can do what they want to do and still feel like everything's okay when everything's not okay. Listen, we are to desire a closer walk with God. That ought to be every child of God's desire today. Help me to walk closer to you. People don't like to sing that song because they don't want. Listen, when I sing a song from my heart. The songs that I sing here at the church, they come from my heart. I've had people say, boy, I really enjoy the way you sang that certain song. I said, I sang it from down in my heart. I've heard other people sing that sounded better, but it didn't come out of the heart. And listen, unless your song comes from down in your heart, it's not going to be as good as somebody that sings from the heart. We was in a song service one night several years ago. There was this quartet came in. They all of them, four men, I believe it was, and they all had on the same kind of suit, same kind of shoes, same kind of tie. They looked like quadruplets. And they get up and they sing, and they had every note. They harmonized good. They knew who was leading. They knew who was singing the tenor. They knew. They sang all the parts. They did everything just exactly perfect. I'm telling you, it was a good show. Not hardly an amen in the house. Nobody acted like they even cared. They sat down like they was defeated because it hadn't went the way they thought it was going to go. And they called on this little sister. She must have been 90 years old. She made her way up to the pulpit, laid a piece of paper on the rostrum. Her old voice trembling and cracking. She began to sing about Jesus. She didn't get through the first verse till just about everybody in the church house was shouting. You know why? Because that first group wasn't tuned up with God. They was in tune with everything else. But this dear old saint of God was in tune with God. And buddy, I want to tell you something. She was singing from her heart. And you can tell the difference. We need a closer walk with God. Need to get closer to Him. Stay closer to Him. Live closer to Him. I'm going to tell you something. Those hurricanes that's been hitting down there on the south and then over in the Gulf and all that, I tell you, that'll make somebody get close to God. But after it's all over with, they get right back where they's at. They didn't really get close to God. If they had it, they'd have stayed. You see, people, I remember on 9/11, when the airplanes flew into the World Trade Center, all those other places where they crashed and people died by the thousands. And our politicians was on the news saying, everybody pray, everybody needs to pray. And about 2 days later, they said, don't talk about prayer. We're offending people. Well, do you want prayer or do you don't want prayer? Well, we only want it when we need it. And when we don't need it anymore, then we don't want it anymore. Well, I got news for you. You need it all the time. Amen. Listen, we need a closer walk. There was a prophet one time. God said, Elijah, go down to anoint Elisha to take your place, because you're fixing to get out of here. And he went down and found Elisha plowing his daddy's field. And he went and laid his mantle over his shoulders. And Elisha said, let me go home and tell my mom and dad bye. Let me go kiss mom and dad and I'll follow you. And Elisha said, well, I think I made a mistake. And Elisha said, no, you didn't. Wait just a minute. And the next thing you see, Elisha killed the ox and burned the plow. I want to tell you something. If you killed your daddy's ox and you burned your daddy's plow, you ain't going back home. And after he did that and offered a sacrifice to God, he said, now let's go. And he walked with Elijah and he helped Elijah and he witnessed the things that Elijah did for a length of time. And then when it was time for him to go, Elijah said, I've got to be leaving here and I want to ask you something. What can I do before I leave? The Bible said that it came to pass, 2 Kings 2:9, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. Now there again, like in Solomon's case, Elisha never said, let me tell you what I want you to do for me before you leave. He didn't say that. But Elijah looked at Elisha and said, what can I do for you? What can I do? He gave him the opportunity to have whatever he desired. Elisha had a golden opportunity. He could have asked for anything and got it. But Elijah said, what would you have me ask? He said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha, without hesitating, in the same verse, said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I want twice as much as what you got. You know any saints of God today that you would say, I'd like to have twice what they got? Man, I tell you, most of the people I know in this world today, I wouldn't want half what they got. But Elisha said, just let me have half. Let me have a double portion of your spirit. Listen, wouldn't you want to be closer to God? Elijah did miracles. Elisha did more miracles. When the prophets over there, the 50 prophets, sons of the prophets, they said, Elisha, you better stay with us, because your master's going to be taken out of here and you better be somewhere where it's safe. He said, I ain't staying with you. Listen, we need to come out from among them and be a separated people. There wasn't any of those other prophets that got anything when Elijah went away, except the one that was following God. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken away, it'll be given to you. He could have probably asked for great wealth and Elijah would have said, oh, that's easy. He could ask for anything. Elijah probably would have said, no problem. He said, I want a double portion. Elijah said, that's a hard thing. Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. It is a hard thing. If you want a double portion of the Spirit of God, it's going to be a hard thing. You're going to have to get on your knees before God. You're going to have to get in the Word of God. You're going to have to seek God's will. You're going to have to seek God's face. And if you'll do that, God will give you your double portion. You've got to want it enough to seek after it. Listen, Elisha said, I want a double portion of what you've got. Let it fall on me. And Elisha's desire, that was in his heart. That revealed what Elisha was all about. Listen, he wasn't going back to daddy's house. That was over with. He had a new father. He had a heavenly father now that he was wanting to go see. Listen, I'll tell you something this morning. If we would just seek God's will, seek His face, and do what He would have us to do, my, my, how we would be blessed if we would just do that. Why don't we ask for the gifts of the Spirit? That would be a good thing to ask for, would it not? The Bible said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5, verse 22, He said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He said, against such there's no law. Wouldn't it be something to have these things? Would you want more love? I tell you something, the world could use it. And most of us could use it. Just be honest this morning. Most of us could use more love. Because I tell you something, love's a department where we run a little short sometimes. It's hard to say you love somebody when you're biting their head off and growling at them. He said, joy. Don't you want more joy? Oh no, I'm happy being miserable. I don't know anybody that's happy being miserable. We need joy. Why don't we ask for it? Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives peace. Listen, the world, there is no peace in this world, but there's peace in Christ. Ask for it. Long suffering. I'm not going to say anything about all these things, but long suffering, gentleness. Don't you need that? Goodness. Who don't need more goodness? Faith, meekness, and temperance. I'm going to get a chance one of these days. Maybe, Lord, let me go back and go through these things and just talk about them a little bit and discuss what they are and what good they are and what benefit they are to the child of God. Listen, these are things that we need, but these are things that the world don't want. They know nothing about. But listen, if you're in tune with God where you need to be, the first thing you'd ask for, if Jesus said, what can I give you? You'd say, salvation. Salvation. I want to make a trip up Calvary. I want to get saved. I want to have my sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. That'd be a good starting place. And then follow God wherever He leads. We sang a song, where He leads me, I'll follow. Do we really mean it? Most people don't. Most people say, where He leads me, I'll go the other direction. Listen, we don't need it like that. Where He leads me, I will follow. What He tells me to do, I'll do. Miss Carol wrote an article in the bulletin this week concerning Hosea, how that God told him to go out and marry a harlot. Don't you know that would have been hard for me to do anyway? I don't know about anybody else. But it would have been a hard thing for me to do. But Hosea did it. He went out and got him a wife named Gomer. And he brought Gomer home with him. And after a while, she ran off. Listen, people, Jesus brings you in and then you decide to run off. God told Hosea, said, go find Gomer and bring her back. You know where he found her? At a slave market on an auction block. Fixing to be sold. And Hosea went and took his life savings and bought her back. Man, would you have her after that? I would. But God said to. You see, that makes the difference. God said to. So He bought her back. Brought her back home with Him. So I'm going to tell you something. When God tells you to do something, it may not be your cup of tea. It may not be what you want. But it's what's best. And we need to follow the Lord. What would you ask for? If Jesus was to walk in here right now and point right at you and say, what would you have me to do for you? What would you say? Where is your heart at this morning? While they come and get us a song, this is the message. Do you need to talk to Jesus about some things? Would your heart's desire be in the world? The things of the world? Or would it be on God and the things of God? Where's your heart at? Jesus said, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Or where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If your treasure's in this world, That's where your heart is. You know, there's people in this world that's got little, very little, but they wouldn't give God nothing. They're holding on to it with everything they've got. They wouldn't give God not one nickel of what they have. And they'll tell you, I can't afford it. I'll tell you, I can't afford not to. You see, if we do what's right in that sight of God and in God's eyes, He will bless us. He always has. And last time I checked, my bank's just about bankrupt, but God's not. I don't have a whole lot. I was out of town last week. When I came back and looked, you know, I didn't have any more than I did when I left. Matter of fact, I had less than I had. But you know what? When I called on heaven, God said, I still got everything we need. It's all covered. I got it for you. All you got to do is just desire it and get your heart where that God can bless you. You know, there's people that can't be blessed because they just won't surrender to God. Don't be one of them. If you need something from the Lord this morning, why don't you come? Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand today and preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for your precious Word. God, I ask you to touch every heart in this building this morning. God, be with us today and help us, Lord, that we would just, God, just be what you'd have us to be. And our desires be what you would have them to be. Help us this morning, dear Lord, I pray. God, be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing the number, would you slip out? If you find yourself slipping away from God, slipping toward the world, why don't you come to Jesus this morning and ask Him to take care of that situation for you? As we sing.